So I find, okay, how can I use my network? How can I build up this person so that when they or their client need my services, they're going to come back to me? You know, and that's the keys.
You're listening to Be That Lawyer, life-changing strategies and resources for growing a successful law practice. Each episode, your host, author, and lawyer coach, Steve Fritzen, will take a deeper dive, helping you grow your law practice in less time with greater results. Now, here's your host, Steve Fritzen.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Be That Lawyer. I am Steve Fritzen, your business development coach and trainer, peer advisor. And I want to welcome you to the show. I hope everybody's doing well and you're staying safe out there. I have a really interesting guest today, someone I've known for many years, and he's sort of an innovator in the legal marketing, networking, relationship building space. I mean, he has built his whole career around being just a tremendous giver and networker. It's Michael Norton, who's the director of business development at Houlihan Capital. How's it going, Michael?
Going terrific. Terrific, Steve. Thank you for having me on here.
Yeah. It's my pleasure. So do me a favor, give a little bit of a background on you, because I know that you're a lawyer, a licensed lawyer, but you're not practicing these days. So tell everybody your background and what led you over to Houlihan.
No, that's correct. I run business development for an investment bank and valuation firm, which I love my position, but I've had a very odd route to that. Coming out of undergrad, I actually did was lucky enough to do the Teach for America program. So taught in the inner city in Dade County for a couple of years, went off to law school and came out. I was lucky enough to, in the midst of the wake of 2008 downturn, I was able to get a funded fellowship with the Lawyers Committee for Civil Rights. So worked there for a year. I moved over to practicing and practiced long enough to know that I was very good at bringing clients into the firm, but I was probably not cut out to be a litigator. So went out and sought out greener pastures in about 7 years ago and landed at Houlihan Capital. So it's, the rest is history, as you may say it.
Yeah. So I love the, a lot of lawyers are figuring out that there's other things they can do with their law degree and what sort of makes them happy and what sort of, is it running a business or a certain, being a business developer. So how do you see that going down, for many of the lawyers that are coming out of law school and many of the lawyers that maybe are kind of getting tired of the grind of litigation or things like that?
Well, yeah, I think, I was lucky enough to mentor at an early part of my career on the importance of business development, which is a skill set that can really be used anywhere. But I love the process of working with my clients, figuring out their problems and finding them an answer. And many cases that answer is not going to come from Houlihan Capital. It's they have multiple issues that I can help them with, and that has been, the basis of the development of my network. I've always tried to figure out a way where I can be the hub that my network can come to. And if I can't help them solve a problem, I'm going to help them find the answer. And I think that's a great way for anyone coming out of law school, or starting their career to think of their network as something that will ultimately work for them and work for the other people in their network, which is, where I've placed a heavy emphasis on. I want to be I want to be the hub. I want to be the connector.
Okay. So, I guess we're just going to dive in that a lot of people think of networking as, passing out business cards and glad handing and just kind of attending events and maybe, trying to get some business, right? And you have a very different angle and approach that you've already alluded to. So what are some of the things that, you mentioned, for example, trying to ask questions, listen, and it doesn't have to be your solution. It could just be something that you identify that you could help them with that maybe isn't your solution. So what are some of the fundamentals, the Mike Norton fundamentals, blocking and tackling of networking?
Well, you pointed to one thing that for all the young people that started our firm, I point to, I can look and see the folks at networking events that are just there to stack cards up and they're not making any meaningful connection. And I try to really meet the people that I'm talking to, understand their business, understand, and really just asking at the very, very onset, how can I be of value? to them. And in some cases, you find that there isn't any, and it's okay. And it's good to know good people, but you know, you can say we can be friends, but we're clearly not set up to, you know, help each other from a professional standpoint. But that's when I start thinking, okay, I automatically go to connecting with whom within my network would be good for this person to meet, you know, because we have a very finite product at Houlihan Capital. We have two arms. It's a valuation arm and an investment bank. And people don't need those services right away. They need them when they need them, or their clients need them when they need them. So I find, okay, how can I use my network? How can I build up this person so that when they or their client need my services, they're going to come back to me, you know, and that's the key. So, you know, there is a little name dropping involved. I won't lie. And, you know, I've gotten much better at that, but, you know, it's, do you know this person? Do you know this person? Have you heard of this firm? Oh, you know, great. You need PR services. I've got a handful of groups that do that. So you just basically rattling off how I can be of assistance at an early stage. And then that relationship then can grow organically, but it's much stronger because I found a way to add value as early as possible. And I think that's the key, is just consistently adding value because it comes back to you. I'm a big, big believer in a karma-centric, you know, network, if you will.
And how does that impact your time? Because I, you know, I think the first line of my networking book is about, you know, no one's wasted more time networking than I have. And, you know, that's a little tongue in cheek because I met a lot of great people. I built up a lot of great karma and all that. But the point of it was, is that as you get busy, as lawyers get busy, networking, you know, through Zoom or through live or whatever we're able to do, you know, it eats up time. And so to go out there and to just meet all these, you know, various people and try to connect them all, that's incredibly difficult to do these days more than ever. And also time consuming. So how are you either doing this yourself or teaching others to be efficient with that process?
Well, I mean, I do far less just giant networking events, virtual or not virtual, than I did when I was starting. When I was starting, I didn't really have much of a roadmap, so I was trying anything.
Okay.
And you're right, that eats up a ton of time, and time is, you know, definitely a finite resource. So especially when you have folks that are working on the execution side, like attorneys, for instance, they don't have time. Their entire job, unlike mine, is not built around business development. I find folks like them or the people that work on our teams, building it in as a systematic piece of what they do so that they know that they're going to allocate a specific amount of time to it so that they can make sure I said I'm going to allocate 2.5 hours a week or 4 hours a week or whatever the case may be. And that's going to be spent sending out emails, having virtual meetings. You know, once we're all allowed to, again, going to events or going to, you know, some activity where they're meeting other people, you know, but again, it's making it a systematic thing and sticking to it, which is the hard part.
Right. I definitely the management of the time and what events to attend or even just not even attending events, but just keeping in touch with your network, the people that you already know and the time that's invested there. You know, I don't know if this is, you know, the right answer or not, but I mean, part of what I try to do is really, you know, look at targets. And if I'm networking with someone who is a, you know, let's say, you know, a landscaper, okay. Well, if I'm working with attorneys, that landscaper may know attorneys. However, if there's an attorney or someone that works with attorneys or, you know, that I also meet at that networking event, maybe I want to be nice to the landscaper and try to be friendly or connect, but it's not someone that I'm going to maybe meet with for an hour or meet, you know, spend a ton of time with, because I'm trying to really keep focused on the connectors that might be more meaningful or come in contact with, you know, my direct buyer more so than someone who may never come across that. How does that resonate with you and what your networking mindset is?
Absolutely. I completely agree. And you'll meet that landscaper, that plumber, et cetera, at events or wherever. You know, if they reach out to connect after, you know, I'll link in, it's fine, but they want a meeting. I ask them what their goal is with that meeting. And if they're just trying to sell me landscaping services. Well, one, I don't have a house, but but two, you know, as I say, you know, unfortunately at this time, you know, I don't have, you know, I'm unable to meet, you know, love to be connected in the future. And I think being forthright at the beginning about that is very important, because otherwise, as you know, you can end up having 45 meetings in a week and, you know, 2/3 of them don't make any sense. So I, you know, definitely, you know, tailoring that. And I tell a lot of the young professionals that I work with, you know, when they're going out to networking events, you hit it. There are specific types of people they're looking to meet. And you don't want to be abrasive. You don't want to just dodge folks. But there's a point at which, you know, too many young people or too many inexperienced business developers can get bogged down in conversations at those events that are in no way profitable. So, you know, that's you got to allocate your resources. Although, yeah, you know, when you're there, you're not going to meet a lot of great people. There are some people that just aren't going to be phenomenal for you. I tend to judge an event, you know, by if I'm there per hour and I meet two or three people that are worthwhile per hour, I'll say that was a relatively good event for me. Yeah. Whereas, you know, if I just come back and I see a stack of cards, well, that's not the best use of my time.
Yeah. I mean, I'm old, so I'm a stick in the mud. So like if I, you know, this is, you know, go to an event or something like that back, you know, back when we could do that. And, you know, I'd, you know, if I'm there for an hour and I can get those 2 to 3 cards, I'm gone. Like I, you know, I used to stay all night. I'd be the last guy to leave. And these days, because of time and because I'm old and crotchety, I guess, I just want to I want to get the job done. I want to move on. And now I've got 2 or 3 really good people to follow up with. And there might've been another 5 that I would have met, but I'm just not at the point where I'm willing to continue to push forward when, you know, when I sort of set a goal and met the goal.
I agree with that. And I think there's a FOMO thing, you know, that fear of missing out that a lot of people, you know, they tend to stay longer, but then that can, you know, be detrimental to them personally and professionally. You end up being there, probably going to have a couple more drinks. There's a lot of things that, you know, then, it makes the rest of your week more difficult because you stuck around till 11 o'clock at night. And, you know, was that really worth it? I think you have to have some goals going into those environments. You know, I found, you know, some of the organizations that I'm involved with have had really good virtual networking things throughout COVID, and I've attended, but, you know, luckily they're only an hour long, but I found that I make a lot of good contacts at them, but I just, you know, they're, you can only do so many of them. I know a lot of people that have dotted their calendar with tons of those. Like, how are you really going to be able to follow up with all those people and have meaningful relationships with them after the fact? There's a time constraint. Time-wise, it's not possible.
And I think that's the biggest fear that lawyers have about networking is that the amount of time that they have to put into it and what they're going to actually get out of it. And so while I'm a big advocate of networking, I run a bunch of networking groups and I'm in, you know, different, you know, things here in Chicago and nationally that I do. The reality is that what I really try to help attorneys with, and maybe we can move to this point, is, yeah, you could attend events and you could meet strangers and you never know what you might find and the fear of missing out and all that. However, what about your network? What about the network you've already built? The lawyers that you already know, the friends and family, the clients, the strategic partners you've already developed, people that have referred you business. Let's move into that space. And how do you do at keeping in touch? How do you keep in touch? How do you develop relationships after you've given, after you've shared some value and now you want to maintain?
Well, for follow-up, one thing is automate what I can automate. Yeah, I don't want to be spamming anyone, but if I can build in that there are folks that I want to regularly stay in touch with, I put that into the CRM that I use and, you know, make sure that I calendar, you know, every X number of weeks, I'm going to stay in touch with a certain person. That's key. I think going to your exit client base, our CEO's got a great line, and, you know, the most likely person to pay you is someone who's already paid you, you know, and that's where, you know, you've done work for those individuals, those companies in the past, you know, why would you not want to maintain that relationship? You have specific individuals who have referred you business in the past, why would you not want to stay in front of them and spend part of that time that you allocate towards business development towards that? This accountant has sent me X number of clients. Do I need 15 other accountants in my business network? Or, you know, should I just keep working that particular person and then see how I can also add value to their network using other pieces of my network? You know, I think that's a huge thing that's overlooked. And, you know, because some people that, you know, don't quite understand, you know, the relationship building process, you know, see it as a numbers game. And, you know, I am definitely one that does not believe the traditional sales funnel, you know, works within the consulting environment. You know, when you're a service provider, there is a numbers thing in terms of if you hit enough people, maybe something will happen. But if they don't know who you are, they don't understand what you do, and then you're not relevant to them when they need your services. And because you didn't do the right level of follow-up, well, you're not going to get their business. That's just the way it works.
Yeah. And it sounds like it's quality over quantity. And if you can find one quality CPA that really gets networking and can feed you, you know, 5 to 10, 3 to 6, I mean, you come up with the number of what would be meaningful. But, you know, if they can send you those kinds of opportunities because they're regularly coming across them, that's going to be so much better than trying to network with 10 CPAs, you know, half of which, you know, don't know what the heck they're doing. And the other half, you know, or just, you know, they're just not following through and you're having to continually, you know, reach out to them to touch base. So you got to kind of look for the needle in the haystack sometimes.
For sure. And I think those that are, you know, really, really good at developing business get that. And I think there's a point, you know, I know that a lot of people have looked at, you know, your LinkedIn contacts or whatever, and you see 8,000 people. Do you really know 8,000 people? I mean, is that even humanly possible? It's, yeah, I'll if I meet someone at a conference and they link in with me, fine. I'll take it. But, you know, I don't use that as, okay, well, I have 8,000 people I'm going out to. I probably have, you know, a few hundred that I realistically do stay in touch with frequently. And some of those folks, if they're at, you know, groups that we do work with, or, you know, they're in positions to refer us business, sure, they're part of the email chain. If I'm in their city at some point, maybe we have coffee, but that's not going to be the best use of my time. Best use of my time is to work with those people that really do know me. And, you know, I think a lot of people during COVID have really seen that, because you can only develop relationships, so, you know, new relationships so well virtually. You know, I found that you can introduce your services pretty well, but you don't have that in-person touch that a lot of people want.
Well, I agree with that. I would say that one of the things I've been working on really aggressively with my clients has been preparation for Zoom calls. And so we have to work maybe a little bit harder than in the past, where, you know, if I walk into your office and I can make some chit chat about your office or about the weather or about someone we have in common, that's fine. And that's going to work. And we'll take 10, 15 minutes to talk about whatever. And I think today with Zoom, you got to be efficient, but I think you have to really do your research to look at something that's meaningful to the other person. It could be something they wrote or something they posted or something that you know, you heard them on a podcast, whatever it might be, that's going to kind of get them excited about, I can't believe you saw that, or I can't believe you know that, or, you know, whatever. And don't stalk them, obviously. Don't be, I saw your children were at, you know, the mall. I mean, that's not good. But the idea that you need to be a little more prepared and get into the thick of things, but, you know, start off from a position of power through knowledge and preparation.
Oh yeah. And, you know, the good thing about that is there is a ton of information out there. You know, for the vast majority of executives that I interact with, I can find out a good amount of information. And what I've done, you know, in the virtual environment, if it's a pre-scheduled meeting, I just dual screen my computer, and I have a couple of bullet points, you know, and I'm not going to run through all of them because I don't want it to be sound, you know, like a robot, but there are certain things that I, you know, it's like, oh, you went to such and such college, or you were part of, you know, this fraternity, or there are certain things you see on their LinkedIn profile, or to your point, I saw you spoke on XYZ, you know, that's really interesting. And people like to talk about themselves. So if you highlight a few things, that's great. I mean, one of my tricks that I tell everyone is one of the greatest gifts you can give someone is when they're having a baby, I go to their LinkedIn, you know, I find what college they went to, send them a onesie. It's a $15 gift.
And I love it.
I've never gotten the response that I got. I still remember an attorney runs one of the very large law firms, private equity practice. And the response that I got when I sent him a baby Iowa football jersey was like no other.
Yeah,
he sent me pics. I started getting pictures, you know, everything. And he liked it because it showed that I actually spent a little bit of time, and it was something more personal than, you know, a little thank you or a little follow-up saying congrats. You know, it gave that little personal touch.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. Hey, let's go back to something we were talking about a few minutes ago and just put a finer point on it. So you mentioned that you have a CRM, which stands for Client Management Retention Tool, or Client Retention Management. What is that? What it stands for? Something like that. Anyway, and that's a software that kind of gives you reminders of people you need to follow up with. But what are some other tips and tricks that you could share that, you know, you just gave one with the football jersey, but keeping in touch with the people you've already developed relationships. I think that's an art form. You know, that's something that is almost a lost art form because I don't think too many people do it or do it well.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. And I think there are certain easy tools. One, you know, scheduling software that links up with Outlook. That's easy. It's something that I always put into an email. You know, if you love to follow up with you, you know, this link has all of my my availability for the next 6 weeks. If you feel free to grab a spot on there, it's something very easy. When you're sending out a marketing email, that's not a automated email. It's something that's coming, you know, that you're drafting yourself. Taking the 4 seconds to do the drop down and put a reminder in, and I just put a reminder, and it reminds me to follow up on, you know, if I don't hear it back in 4 to 6 weeks. You know, again, I don't want to never want to get to the point where I'm just spam. It just doesn't get nobody wants that. I get enough. I every morning I go through my email and I probably have 100 emails just to delete. And I don't want to be at that point. But, you know, if I have that every 6, 8, whatever cadence I want to get into with a specific individual, it's not that big of an undertaking to just, there's a little drop down in Outlook and it just says reminder, place a reminder and it sets it into your calendar automatically. That's easy. Some of the more difficult things, you know, I tend to do, I'll put together lists of, you know, people that have certain personal interests. You know, I'm personally a big golfer, and if it comes up that someone's a golfer, I'll add them to my list of golfers because I actually will put together my own networking golf outings and have 32 people go out, but I try to be very, very cognizant of what they do and who'd be good for them to meet. But other small things, you know, where if it's they're into the arts, they're into sports, whatever the case may be, I have a running list of folks that are, you know, have common interests. And if I'm going to, you know, say, hey, let's all go get drinks, you know, I'll invite 8 people from the common interest area. And, you know, we at least have one thing that we all, and it's not just me, I'm not the only connector. It's we're all there to, you know, watch a Bulls game, or we're all.
I was
going to
say it's called an Alcoholics Anonymous meeting, Michael. In case you
didn't know. Well, that too. That is one thing you got to be careful too. I think a lot of people that get started on business development, you know, they don't realize that, you know, you can end up having a few really rough mornings because you're not paying attention.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like, you know, really focusing on what people's interests are, focusing on, you know, how you can connect with them on a personal level. I think that's really key. And again, not done, nearly enough or at the level that it could or should be. I was just talking with a client of mine earlier, and actually it's someone I want to introduce you to. He's in the benefits space, executive comp. And I think you two would hit it off really well, but we were talking about, you know, getting, you know, people together for wine tasting, like just doing a three-way between someone at your firm and someone that you want someone at your firm to meet. Or it was a matter of, you know, getting articles that are relevant and putting them out to your clients or putting them out to people. And just how do you continually stay in front of people without it feeling, like you said, automated or like it isn't personalized, right? I think people like the personal attention. And I think FaceTime is important, maybe now more than ever, as people are more siloed and feeling alone and everything that to feel appreciated, to feel like they're getting those touches. I think it's really going to separate the wheat from the chaff here as it relates to relationships.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And I think there's absolute pent up demand for in-person. I mean, everyone I speak to wants to get back out, wants to be, you know, in front of people, because you can make that personal connection far easier in that in-person environment, but you got to work with what you got right now. You know, yeah. Some people are more willing to meet with you. Some people are more willing to meet in outdoor environments, and hopefully we'll have weather that we're allowed to do that, you know, in the not so distant future. So yeah, I think we're getting back to that, but it's going to be a solid 12 to 18 months until I think we're really back. Some people may hear that and say, no. We'll all be vaccinated and we'll be back. I disagree with that. You know, I think there's going to be, we'll be vaccinated, but then there'll be a comfort level thing. And doing what you can now to stay relevant and, you know, again, make meaningful connections while you can during this is so important, because, you know, business goes on.
Yeah. Yeah. And so kind of wrapping things up, you know, lawyers struggle with, you know, networking, they struggle with, you know, keeping in touch and the time management piece and everything. And I think, you know, you and I have kind of collaborated to figure out, you know, give a couple of good takeaways. Any other secret Michael Norton tips that you want to put out there that just go, you know, this was a defining, you know, moment for me, or tip that I use, or something that really helped me, you know, move my way through all this minutia of time sucking networking that can exist if done inefficiently.
Well, one good thing, and I've started to do this much more, I got really bad at it, was scheduling in some of the admin piece. That follow-up, if you do have a CRM or some system that you're using, actually writing those notes in, that takes time, you know, and that's not an easy process. So definitely putting aside time for that. Having some KPI in place that's going to, you know, if you want to make X number of contacts a week, or you have Y number of meetings a week, whatever that case may be, have something to hold yourself to.
Yeah.
That's huge.
Most people don't do that. Key performance indicators, having some type of goal for the week or the day or the month or anything. I would say, I mean, I do that with all my clients. I actually put them on what's called an activities journal, which is just short of a CRM, but it really looks at it, you know, you want to have so many meetings a month, that's going to take so many calls, that's going to take so many events. Like, it all works towards what the end result is, which is introductions and prospect, you know, prospective client meetings. But that's how I'm keeping track of my clients and making sure that they're held accountable to themselves and to me as their coach. But I think lawyers need to, you know, not everybody's going to work with me or know what you're doing. So they've got to have their own system of how they're going to track and set goals and achieve goals.
I agree with that. And I also think, you know, tracking is key. If you're not tracking it, how do you know you're doing any better? But also starting with a list, start from a place of, you know, who am I actually targeting? Because it's a big world. And, you know, is it for lawyers, I want to target general counsel at companies, I assume would be a big one. But, you know, who is that list? Who are those people? You know, and to your point from earlier, is there anyone within my network that can speed that along? You know, you take the time to research the person's, look at LinkedIn, they're connected to so-and-so. Is that a strong connection? Can I actually use that as an introduction? But I think most people, regardless of industry, do not start with a list. They just start.
Yeah, that's really great. And not only lists, but to your point, targeted lists, like who are your targets? They're GCs at specific types of companies. That could be size, that could be industry, that could be geography. You know, the more detailed you can get, I mean, that's going to help you help your networking. I mean, if I could tell you, Michael, exactly who I'm looking for, you're going to know whether or not you know those people and if you can make an introduction versus me saying, oh, I work with everybody. I do everything for everybody. Well, that's going to be very, you know, bad as it relates to, you know, getting, you know, get a real focused introduction.
I agree with that. And I was candidly, I was very bad at that at the outset. I had the general list. Well, I want to work with these types of people, but these types of people is very broad. And it was not, you know, it's like, okay, no, I need X, Y, and Z. These are the three types of folks that refer me business. That's who I want to meet, you know, and that's who I spend my time with because most of my business is referral. You know, and I think the, that applies to all industries, not just mine. I mean, any lawyer can do that. It's just taking the time to do it is key. And I don't think anyone actually takes the time, you know, especially, you know, you see a lot of it, a lot of my friends that are, you know, I was a 2011 grad for law school. So a lot of my friends are transitioning into partner now. And, you know, many of them have pinged me because my job is business development, their job is not. And, like, how do you do it? And I, you know, it's amazing that, you know, they're being thrown into the world. It's like, oh, well, you're a senior, you're almost a partner, or you've just made partner. Now you got to bring in business.
Yeah.
What does that mean? You know, and how do I do that? They just start going and it's like, well, just stop what you're doing right now and take two steps back. And figure out who it is you want to meet with and then start that process over again. Because, you know, you're thrown to the lions and you just don't have a clue what you're doing.
Yeah. And the analogy that my audience has heard me say is like, I'm not a lawyer, but I'm going to go into a courtroom and I'm going to start, you know, running a jury trial, right? I mean, that's probably not going to go so well for me. And so when lawyers get thrown out into the open and say, hey, you know, you're a partner now, go get business. And it's that same feeling where they can sort of fake it, or they can try to outwork it, or they can try to, you know, make it happen. But the reality is that business development, networking, all the things that you and I do, they're learned skills. We either do them, we learn them through mistakes and trial and error, or we learn them because we learn from better people than us that teach us things. And that's the goal. And if you can cut through all that through talking to you or talking to me or whatever, like that's going to be a much better way than sheer force of effort, which is a Neil Dishmanism. Who's a you know, Neil Dishman. So he was on my show, right? So I think that it is great to you know, to get advice from someone like you or myself, and we're always happy to give advice. There's no cost for advice, you know, but it's something that would be helpful and would be meaningful to others. Then we'll do it.
Oh yeah, I agree with that, and I think the you know, it's I like it when people ask me that question because I don't mind imparting it, but a lot of people are like, oh, well, it's come so naturally. No, it didn't. I did my research. I read my books. I read my Never Eat Alones and all those other, you know, the gurus and all that. But I did my research. And yes, I'm a more extroverted person than most of my lawyer friends, I will say. But you know, that doesn't mean I'm necessarily a better business developer. I went out without, you know, a game plan for a year and a half before I really figured it out. And it, you know, and that was a lot of misplaced time, misplaced effort, but that happens. But you know, then I was like, wait a second, what am I doing wrong here? Why are these, I'm having these great, what I thought were great meetings. Why aren't these converting into clients? Why aren't these converting into like referrals? And turned out I wasn't asking the right questions. I wasn't staying focused. I was getting, you know, I was filling up my calendar with 30, 40 meetings a week. And you know, there were meetings, it was activity for activity's sake.
Yeah. Well, you're preaching to the choir, my friend. I mean, we're almost like, I think we lived this a very similar life there for a while. And, you know, fortunately both of us have figured it out. And I think we've both been very successful at not only, you know, doing business development effectively, but also helping others to do it as well. Let me ask you, for people that want to reach out to you for, you know, deals, valuations, or just to get to know, you know, the guy I know, how do they reach out to you? What's the best way to get in touch with you?
you know, ping me via email and ping me via LinkedIn. Those are probably the two best ways to get in front of me. I don't mind getting my email address out. It's mnorton@houlihancapital.com. And I'm always willing to talk to people. And then, you know, getting me via LinkedIn is great as well. You can always go to our website, houlihancapital.com for any further information.
Yeah. And I'm going to have, you know, Michael's contact information in the show notes as well. So, hey, Michael, just want to thank you for taking some time to be on the show, to share your knowledge and expertise in networking, business development, relationship building with my audience. And I just, I can't thank you enough.
Oh, of course, Steve. I appreciate the opportunity. Thank you very much.
Hey, man, my pleasure. And so, hey, everybody, hey, listen, if you couldn't take a couple things away from this show, then you're out of your mind. So we had a good time. And again, I think it's really important to get organized with your business development efforts, as we talked about, and start to make it a part of how you do business on a day-to-day, week-to-week basis. And look, at the end of the day, it's all about being that lawyer, someone that is confident and organized and a skilled rainmaker. Take care, everybody. Be well, be safe.
Thanks for listening to Be That Lawyer. Life-changing strategies and resources for growing a successful law practice. Visit Steve's website, fretson.com, for additional information and to stay up to date on the latest legal business development and marketing trends. For more information and important links about today's episode, check out today's show notes.